and to rejoice in Him. You notice the pulpit is out of place tonight, and that makes me feel very uncomfortable. I guess that's my security to hide behind the pulpit. But this coming Friday will be our school program, and so they're practicing without the pulpit there in the way. And it's just too heavy to move back and forth, so it's all right tonight. And we'll have it back for Sunday. So the program will be Friday morning about 9 o'clock. And so we pray the Lord will bless that with the children and the things that they're practicing and doing. And look forward to hearing that. If you would, take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 9. It only has about 2, 4, 6, 8 words in it. My, what strong words they are. And coming to hear the time of the season that we are in, we're thinking about gifts. We're thinking about giving and receiving, and that's always the highlight of Christmas, especially for the children. And I know some adults sort of like it too. And so that becomes a highlight for Christmas. And verse number 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." I know not of a better subject to think about any time than the gift of God, which we know of is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible is full of verses and full of scriptures that tell us concerning this gift. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that Peter is talking to this man Simon. And Simon, of course, was a sorcerer, and he saw all the miracles that the apostles were doing, and he offered money that he might have that power also. And Peter says to him that his money would perish with him because he thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And a lot of folks feel that way. A lot of folks believe, and a lot of folks think that money is the cure-all for all problems and all ailments. And if they could buy their way into heaven, they certainly would do that. I had a boss one time, I know I've told this, that he had multitudes of dollars, but yet he knew nothing about the things of God, and he became very ill and very sick, and he was not going to live. The prognosis was not very good at all. And he told me, he said, "I would give every dime I have to have another day or another week or another month of life." But we can't buy our way. We can't buy our life, and we can't buy our eternal life. It's a gift of God. You see, when somebody gives you a gift, it's free. It doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter how much is value guaranteed to that or given to that. If it's a gift to you, then you have nothing to purchase or nothing to buy in that. And so we find that we are to thank the Lord for His unsearchable gift. Not that we can buy it or work for it or to get all those things that the world thinks we have to do, but it's a gift and God has offered it. And so here at the Christmas season, we think about gifts and giving. And the Bible here gives us a good example of that wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ that is given unto the world. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so we find that the gift of God is His Son. And of course we know that through His Son we have eternal life. And so therefore, as Paul gives us in Romans, the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin, there is a payment for sin. There's a payment for being against the Lord. And our nature is against God from the time we are living until the time we die. Unless the Lord intervenes in our life, we will die without Him. But thank God the gift is offered and given to us. If we will but believe upon Him, that will be that unspeakable gift. So tonight I want us to just think a little bit about the gift of God and the blessings that He has for us in this unspeakable gift. The Bible tells us that there was great plans made concerning this gift. It wasn't something spur of the moment. It wasn't something that just come up because all of a sudden God figured out that man wasn't going to do what he's supposed to do. When man was in the Garden of Eden, he and Eve, they had every opportunity. The world tells us today if we just make society better, if we'll just make a better environment around folks, they'll do better, they'll live better, they'll have better things about them. But there's not a better society that ever was than the one God started, and the one that the Lord gave to Adam and Eve. And he said, the whole thing is yours to do with it as you please. But God reserved one thing for him, and he said, don't take of that fruit. And of course, we know the story there in Genesis, how that Satan, Lucifer, came and he beguiled, he tricked Eve, he tricked her in such a way, and she took of the fruit, and then she gave to Adam, and he also took and put man into sin. And they, being representatives of mankind, put us, the whole human race, in what we know of as sin. But we're all born in sin. We have that nature about us. But God had a plan to take care of that. Well, God knew exactly what was going to happen. So those things didn't take God by surprise either. And so the Lord had everything taken care of and had everything covered before it ever took place. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that there was a great plan for this gift. Now, some of these verses, we have difficult maybe understanding all of them. But if we just take them at face value for what to say and quit trying to explain it or explain away, I think it's very clear what the Scripture tells us here. In Ephesians chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," there in verse 3, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now there's the key to everything we do. It's in Christ. And it's because of Him, it's in Him, and all of it is surrounded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 4 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him." Or you could put the word "in Christ" there because it refers back to Christ. It says we've been chosen in Him and before the foundation of the world. Before God spoken into existence, God had a plan to take care of all the needs that any of us would ever have. And He says that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us by the adoption unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He is the one that has done all the work. Thank God, my salvation is not what I did, it's what He did for me and the things that God has placed before us. And so all this was in action and all this was in place when Adam sinned and when man fell away from the good grace of the Lord and went off into total destruction without God. The Bible says it was He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Or you could change the word there and say in Christ, because He is the Beloved. It's in Him, it's in Christ, and the Beloved. And the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Whose blood? Christ. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Christ, His grace. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according of His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you have trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Now, that's a lot of verses and a lot of some deep theology there. There's some difficult things in those verses. But it all surrounded by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose of it is told us here that we could be to the praise of His glory, that we would be His glory. But it comes down to the who first trusted in Christ. You see, God has His plan, but man has also been given His responsibility. Now, you take the responsibility of man and the sovereignty of God, and you try to mix them together, you're not going to be able to do that. Now, that's one of those things I believe God's reserved them for Himself, and we just have to believe both, and we have to understand both. And so we have first trusted in Christ, and then the only way you can trust in Christ is to have first heard, and that is given to us there in verse 13. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So this unspeakable gift that the Lord has given to mankind is a gift that had much planning involved. It wasn't an afterthought. Well, I think we all understand what afterthoughts are when it comes to gifts. You get you go somewhere and you see somebody, and or you get something in the mail and somebody sends you a gift, and boy, you got to hurry up and scamper out to the store because you want to repay the gift. Well, that's not what a gift's really for. And that sort of gets it wrong. But we afterthought, we do things on the spur of the moment. But God didn't do it on the spur of the moment. He had it planned. The Bible here says, even before the foundation or the laying of the foundation of this world. So God had a plan. Thank God He's working His plan. And it's according to His purpose. The Scriptures tell us here, it's according to the good pleasure of His will. And it's all in Christ. It's all because and all surrounded by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have an unspeakable gift that was planned of God. It was something that God gave to us even before we were ever born. It was available to mankind if they will but hear the Word of God, the Word of truth, the gospel of salvation. And that verse there, verse number 13, goes on and says, in whom, speaking of Christ, also after that ye believed. So there's a hearing involved. The Scripture tells us here that we trust after we hear, and we believe. We accept. We may not understand, but we accept what God has done for us. It says, after that ye believed, then there's an action of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that that we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest is the word for promise. It's a promise that God is going to do great things for us in eternity future, because He did great things for us in eternity past. And in the present tense of time, we believed, we accepted, we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ after we heard the Word of God, the Word gospel of salvation. So it's a wonderful thing. Now, one of the Scriptures says it's an unspeakable gift. It's a gift that we cannot describe. It's a gift that we can't put words to. It's a gift that we cannot really go into detail much about. We just believe it by faith and trust in the Word of God of what He has given to us. So it's a gift of that was planned and given to us. Not only that, but that gift that was planned, it was a bought gift. And the Lord Jesus purchased that gift with His own blood. And the Scripture tells us in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God has offered, God has appeared, and the gift of God is available to those that will believe, and that includes all men. And it says that the Bible gives to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye might through His poverty be rich. What a great statement that is. The richest of all came to the poverty level of mankind. That we that were bound in the clutches of poverty and sin could be made righteous and could be made rich in Him. And so we thank God that salvation has been purchased. Now remember, salvation is what? It's a gift. It's an unspeakable gift. And it has been purchased. It's been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we have the planning of the gift, we have the purchase of the gift, and now we find that there is a demonstration of it. There is a proclaiming of that gift that God has given to mankind. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. There is the providing or the proclaiming of the gift of God. Jesus Christ demonstrated that gift over and over and over again as He walked upon the face. He was the express image of the Father. He was that expressed one. He was that one that John said, we beheld His glory as of the glory of God. We looked upon Him. John the Apostle says we touched Him, we handled Him, we talked with Him, and we know who He was. And he had that first-hand experience, that first personal knowledge of the Lord. And the life of Christ demonstrated that He was the unspeakable gift of God to mankind. So when we give our gifts around Christmas time, we are just expressing in a very minute way of the good gift that God has given to us. We give our gifts to those whom we love. We give our gifts to those that we know will respond. We give our gifts to those that will do rightfully with them. And the life of Christ demonstrated, everything about His life demonstrated that He was giving Himself for mankind. No wonder the psalmist says, as we read a while ago, I love the Lord because He hath inclined His ear to me. He has listened to me. He is taking time to listen to my cry. This unspeakable gift, this word that was demonstrated by the Lord, it was a demonstration of an unselfish life. He was rich, but yet He came into poverty. He could have been born with all kinds of riches. For you see, God could have directed anybody to be the way in which He would be born. He could have been born into wealth. He could have been born into a family that had everything. He was born into a family that was already, all through the Old Testament, it came down to two people out of two different groups and tribes. And here they are. And in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says in due season, He was born, made of a woman, and thank God He demonstrated His unselfishness to us. Christ was humble. The Bible says that He had compassion upon folks as He saw them. He was moved with compassion. He did something about that which had moved upon Him. And we know His life was sinless. And Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. Of all the ungodly people in the Bible that made a statement about Jesus, Pilate told the truth. He said, I find no fault. You know why he couldn't find any fault? There was no fault. And so here we find the life of the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated that He was the gift. It demonstrated that He is that promised seed. He is that one that the Jew in those days when we read about in Luke and Matthew and the days of Joseph and Mary, He was the one that the people were talking about, and they called Him Messiah. They didn't have the name beforehand. They had the name Messiah, which means deliverer. And of course we know He is that gift that came and gave Himself that we might have the life forever with the Lord. So there's planning. We don't just do something haphazard concerning gifts. Most of the time we plan to do it. We plan to give. God planned to give His. There has to be a purchase, and the purchase was by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He demonstrated all in every fashion of His life. He demonstrated that He was the Son of God. The best book in the Word of God to find out who Jesus is the Gospel of John. John goes into a meticulous way of declaring the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He leaves no stone unturned. He literally gives us that. And so we have Him demonstrating. Then fourthly, we find that this gift, there's a purpose in it. We read that already a moment ago, some of the things He did according to the purpose of His own will. There's a reason behind. There's a purpose of what was going on. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, talking about Christ, says, who gave Himself for us, here's the purpose, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now the purpose, the reason that Jesus came, the reason for the plan that God had was that Christ would come, and the Bible says there in Titus that He would give Himself that He might redeem. The word redeem means to buy back. It means to take possession of. If you redeem something, that means it becomes yours. And the Bible says that He might redeem us from iniquity or from sin. And there's a reason before that, because He wants to make us a peculiar people. He wants to make us a different people. He wants to make us a people that are not conforming to everything the world does, but it's a people that stands out different in this world. And a true believer, a true Christian, certainly does stand out. Certainly he is peculiar. Certainly, as far as the world is concerned, he's different. Sometimes folks say, well, I'm going to do all I can for my church. I don't want them to be any different. That's a dangerous statement. We need our children to be different. We need to have our grandchildren different than what the world has to offer them. And so we find here that this purpose of the gift is that he might redeem us and create a peculiar people. And then it says, zealous of good works. The word zealous there means go after it. Be excited about it. Go after what's there. And we believe that. We understand that the Scripture tells us that we are to be people that work for the Lord Jesus Christ. The song we sang many times, work for the night is coming, for there is a night, there is a day when man shall work no more, because night will be upon them. And so we are to be zealous. We're to be desirous of good works, not to save us. We've already had that taken care of. But that we might demonstrate what the Lord has done for us in our life. And that really is the purpose for the Lord coming. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, Peter wasn't talking to the Jew here. He's talking to the believer. He said, you're a royal priesthood. That means you have something different than what the world has to offer. It says that you're a chosen generation, a generation that's been picked out and chosen of God. We read that in the book of Ephesians, that first passage that we read. A holy nation. A peculiar people, there's that word again, peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness, thank the Lord, and has put you into the marvelous light. You realize God called us out of darkness. The Bible says we're dead in sins and trespasses. The Bible says we have nothing good within us whereby we can claim anything. I'm glad one day God came and spoke to my heart. I mean, He spoke to me. It wasn't in an audible voice. It was in a heart voice. It was in a voice that I could understand, that He desired that I come unto Him. He says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He'll give you rest for your soul. And so here there's the purpose of the gift, that He might make us a glorious generation, a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a one that would show praises, and because He's got us out of darkness, put us into marvelous light. The next verse says, which in time past ye were not. There was a time past when we were not a peculiar people. There was a time past when we were not a royal priesthood. There was a time past when we did not have the praises. There was a time past when we were in darkness. But the Bible says, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. Transition, moving from one kingdom to another. We have obtained mercy, and certainly continue to obtain mercy. No wonder there in 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul calls him the unspeakable gift. Now the word unspeakable does not mean that we do not speak of Him. The word unspeakable there means indescribable, unexplainable. You can't explain all about it because it's just unspeakable. There's things that's just reserved unto Him. Now there's a plan. I told you at the very beginning that Christ was in the plan. We were in the plan. And there is a plan by which we receive this gift. Here's where a lot of folks get off track. God has given all the things. It's all there. And there is a plan or a purpose. There's a blueprint that God has given to us whereby we can take that gift, that we can receive it, and that we can bring it to ourselves and know that I have been born again. And that plan comes about by, first of all, that faith opens the door. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could do anything at all, this is a pivotal verse that we quote a lot of times. But it's a very important verse. Ephesians 2:8 and 2:9, very important. Because if we had anything to do with our salvation, then I could say, look what I've done. I was able to get to God. I was able to climb the ladder. I was able to get up there and do what's supposed to be done. I did it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. The Lord gives us the opportunity to believe. Somebody says, that's what I did. The only way we're going to believe is God gives us ability to believe. You're not going to believe on your own. It's not in our nature to believe. It's not in my nature to accept. It's not my nature to have faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. And I believe if you take that verse literally there, I know salvation is a gift because that's what we're talking about tonight, but that verse talks about faith is the gift of God. It's that faith, it's that that opens the door where we can receive and understand. And we're justified. We're made holy by that faith. There's nothing hard about God's plan of salvation. And there is a plan. I don't care to hand out the tracts that we have back there that says God's simple plan of salvation. There is a simple plan. And it's very laid out in the Scripture. And so the reason for the unspeakable gift is that we might receive that gift. It doesn't do any good to have a gift if you're not going to take it. I can lay a $100 bill down here tonight. Don't worry, I'm not going to. But I can lay a $100 bill down here tonight and say, whoever wants that could come and get it. I wonder which one of you would be here first. I'd grab it before you got here. But see, a gift is only a gift when what? When it's received. You can have a package there for 10 years. And it's not a gift. It's there available. It's there for the taking. But it's not going to affect anybody until it's received. And so here, this is the plan. That God has given us a way whereby we can receive this gift. God didn't send His Son and then make it hard to get Him. God didn't send the Lord and then make it difficult. Somebody said, well, that fellow there, he believes it's hard to get saved. There's no such thing as a hard salvation. God's made it easy whereby we can believe and trust upon Him. And sometimes we, as individuals, we make it too easy, and then we're explained as making it hard. No, no. According to the Word of God, it's very easy. Just believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Scripture is very clear about this unspeakable gift. What a glorious privilege it is for us tonight to be called the sons of God. What a glorious thought it is that I'm a child of the King and I have a home in heaven. I have a heavenly Father that watches over us. What a wonderful privilege it is to be a believer, to be a Christian. Forget all the other names that's put on us. We're Christian first. We are believers. We believe the Word of God. And so what a privilege it is. And then those that receive the gift, the Bible says that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Same word there, unspeakable. The unspeakable gift gives unspeakable joy. It's not that you don't talk about it, you just can't explain it. You know, sometimes when you have those good services at church, you have those when the Lord just comes in, things just are not like everyday service. And you try to explain it, somebody wasn't there, He just can't do it. You try to get all the details and it's just not the same. Because it's an unspeakable joy. It's an unspeakable gift of the Lord and He gives us unspeakable joy that we really cannot articulate the words whereby that we can really make somebody believe and make somebody understand how much joy I have in my soul even though everything around me is faltering and failing. I still have joy. That only comes from the Lord. That only comes from God. So there's a plan. God purchased. The gift has been bought and paid for. The gift demonstrated who He was, and He's told us what it was for. He's given us whereby we can receive it. He's made it have us give joy and what a privilege it is to be a Christian. But boy, there's a price. You see, every gift has a price. Every gift. It costs somebody something. Every gift you give, whether it be to your husband, wife, your children, your grandchildren, wherever, every gift has a price. The price is included in the sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for us, the just for the unjust. He's the just, we're the unjust. He suffered for us that He might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, quickened, made alive by the Spirit. So we find that we have come and we are unjust, but yet He suffered for us. He suffered for our sins. And He did that He might bring me to God. That I might have position in the Lord. That I have a position in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's mansion, in my house are many mansions. I go prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. One of these days He's going to take us. One of these days He's going to receive us unto Himself. Just for unjust, that He might bring us to God. The Bible says in verse 18, for as much as we know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things. It's not corruption. It's not corruptible. It's not things that we can grab a hold of. You see, everything in this world is corrupted. Everything. Everything you touch is corrupted. And it's corruptible. Everything that you see in this world is temporal. It's temporary. Tell me one thing in this old planet that's going to last forever. All temporary. People are not going to live forever, even though they live like they will. Even though they act like they are, they're not going to live forever. Things are going to wear out. You buy a new car, and before long, it's an old car. You drive it off the lot, it's an old car. You go try to get rid of it 2 or 3 days after you get it. Sorry. You've lost the money. That's just the corruption of life. Our bodies deteriorate, our bodies go down, they get old, they deteriorate. But we have not been redeemed with corruptible things. That which we have been redeemed by is eternal. We are temporary, but we have a eternal redemption, so therefore we have new life. We have a spiritual life. All of a sudden there's still one nature, there's two. The nature we're born with, and then the nature God gives us. Two natures. And so we are realizing that we are not redeemed with silver and gold, and we're not redeemed by corruptible things and all the traditions. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18, he says, not even by the traditions of your fathers. Some of those Baptist traditions are traditions. All the denominations have their traditions. When we talk about the Pharisees being tradition, and we shouldn't be like, oh my, we have more. We have tradition after tradition after, but that's not what redeems us. We're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a price. It included a sacrifice. It's free, but it's not cheap. Some things free or cheap, but our salvation, this unspeakable gift, is free, but it's not cheap. For it costs the Lord Jesus Christ, His life. By the shedding of blood, we have redemption. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who in His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree or the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Everything God's done for us cost a terrible price. And then He offers it to us just by believing. For by grace are you saved through faith, the gift of God, the unspeakable gift. So this season which we're in, I pray that we will sort of bring over some of these gifts to a spiritual side, that we can say, well, I'm giving this corruptible thing, but I'm glad God gave an uncorrupted thing. I'm giving this that's going to pass away, and all those toys, they pass away in about an hour. You ever notice that? My grandson and granddaughter, they'll have toys piled on top of toys, and the next day they'll say, Papa, what are you going to get me at Walmart when we go? That's true. Somebody need to shake your head. You know. Because it's laid over here, the thrill. You know, I believe they get the thrill of just opening the box. It's not necessarily what's in it. Just open the box. I've threatened to give them some empty boxes. And so those things are corruptible. Those things are temporary. But all the gift that God gave, He's eternal life. He's the hope of our life. He's the hope of our eternity. And He bore in His own body sins that we should be live unto righteousness. And by His stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53, by His stripes we are healed. A lot of people use that as a physical healing. Isaiah's not talking about physical healing there. He's talking about a spiritual healing. We're all corrupted by sin. We're all have damnation, condemnation in our life. John 3:16 is a great verse. John 3:18 says that we're condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. We was already condemned. He didn't come to put us down. We was already down. He came to bring us up, place our feet upon a solid rock, and establish our going to go to heaven, that unspeakable gift that brings unspeakable joy for the child of God. May the God of heaven bless us as we go into these next few days and think about all the things that are going on and the joy of being with family. I'm going to enjoy being with family, and you're going to enjoy that. And I mean, he said, "Well, I don't have any family." You got your church family. We have joy with. We've got our family immediate, and just thank God for the wonderful gift, unspeakable. I don't have much family past me now. All of them's gone. Just one or two that's still living that what I would call close family. But I'm glad I have a family of God. And I'm glad to have my family. I'm glad to have a family of those after me. Not those behind, but those before. And we can rejoice in what God has done for us. So Paul says he is that unspeakable gift. Thank God who he is, what he did, and why. Let's stand together tonight.